Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 56. My name is Matt. I am your host. And thanks so much for tuning in this week and joining us here on the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network. Just a couple things before we start and we begin. If you've been listening to some of the other shows on the network, what we're doing, we're asking now, we've sort of lost our Amazon affiliate, and we're asking everyone out there, if you'd like to help the Door-to-Door Geek continue providing all of these great shows on the network, to go to podnuts.com and offer a $1 a month donation to the Podnuts Network, or even just a one-time donation if you choose to do that. We've got a great show to talk to you about today, and a lot of exciting things have happened in the last week. This episode is released a little later than I normally release episodes. I've been really busy at work, and I'm going to get into that in just a minute and tell you all about what exactly has been going on this week, or for the last few months, I should say. The idea of this episode is to discuss with all of you the difference between people, and I'm hopefully I'll come full circle and get this involved with technology in just a few minutes, but the difference between someone who is considered a professional and maybe somebody who is trying to act professional but has a little ways to go before they actually might be a professional. So let me start by talking to you all about something that I did this week at my local school. And I think I may have mentioned this before on the podcast, that I put together an event for my students who are young musicians, and I wanted them to see local professional musicians performing with some very talented guest artists. And they put on a fundraising event for the music department at my school district. So the idea was to hopefully inspire students to want to continue playing instruments, practice more, and get better. And then one day they can provide music to their communities or be involved in other music programs when they go to college, etc. So I personally run a local professional big band. It's called the Adirondack Jazz Orchestra. And we're just basically made up of music educators who get together and perform quite often throughout the area. And we get a lot of students involved throughout the different school districts whenever we have the chance to. But this concert was something quite special because we had a world-famous trumpet player, Ray Vega. He's well known in the international jazz community for being a trumpet player, a Latin jazz percussionist. He is well known in his field, if you're familiar with that particular field. And we had a saxophone player, and we also had a trombone player come and perform with this big band as guest artists. And so putting all these different people together in the same place, you're working with upwards of 25 different musicians, and you never quite know how exactly things are going to work as far as personalities go. Now, I feel privileged, and I feel sort of blessed to not have to deal with a lot of the things that other band leaders may have to deal with as far as personalities. Everyone in my group, true professionals, and very rarely do I have to stress out about anything. It's basically I just provide the music and the band shows up and they play, and then at the end of the night they get paid and they go home. And I don't have to deal with personalities a lot. But especially when you have students involved, what's going to happen? You know, how are they going to treat the students? And this Wednesday we had our concert. It was a success, big turnout. Everybody seemed to enjoy the show. It was tons of fun for the musicians to play. It was sort of a reunion for many of the musicians who sort of knew each other, including the guest artists. And it was absolutely incredible experience for my students. They're still talking about it days later. There were so many moments that they just enjoyed. But one of the highlights for me was seeing the guest artists work with my students and just being friendly and open and wanting to talk about their trade with my students and helping my students learn or helping my students answering questions or just getting them to kind of relax and open up a little bit. We had some students perform on stage with all of us. And during intermission, the students were sort of practicing, getting ready for their big moment on stage. And seeing all of the band members excited for the jazz ensemble students to come up and perform with us and making them feel welcome, making them feel happy. And it sort of started making me think about what is it that makes a true professional in any field? And I started thinking about the different levels of caliber that there are. And, you know, you could have somebody who sort of is self-taught moving out of high school, who is very talented, but certainly hasn't learned the ropes of what it's like in the real world. And then you may have other people who have been part of their trade for a long time, who haven't, you know, maybe learned anything new. And they're sort of set in their ways and how things should be done. And then above that, you have the people that are out there. They know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. Very experienced. And want to help other people get to that same point where they want to help and really sort of mentor the next round of up and coming maybe students or persons who are still developing their skills. And then you go to the class of professional where you may be some of the best in the world. And so to give you an example, Ray Vega, as I mentioned, well-known in the international jazz community, he's one of the best in the world. And at that level, I've met several musicians who are at that level. And every single time that I meet these types of people, they have a unique characteristic. And that is that they are the true professionals. They are there to do a job. They are there to help the younger ones out and encourage them to continue doing what they do. They know they're not going to be around forever. And most importantly, there is no ego involved. There's no arrogance about what they can do. They know their stuff. They're confident about what they do, but there's no arrogance. There's no ego. And it made me start thinking more about this. And at that level, things like arrogance and ego are just not tolerated. And if you go to see any world-class musician, in most cases, you're not going to find that ego. Now, there are exceptions to everything, yes. But at that world-class level, if you have an ego or if you have if you're arrogant, in more cases than not, you're not going to be asked to back. You're not going to have the opportunity to keep doing this for very long, unless you're doing, you know, something, a little different that than someone else out there might be doing. So how do I relate this to tech world? Well, let's talk about any type of technology professional out there. We've all had to deal with them before, whether it be we're having internet connections with internet connection problems. So a few months ago, we had problems with our ISP, and we had to have some local professionals come out and take a look at our whole setup with our cable internet access. And these probably are hourly workers. There were several that showed up, and getting paid by the hour, probably, or a small salary of some kind. There was a person who was obviously higher up, and a person sort of mentoring along with him, learning the ropes of the trade. And just the communication that went back and forth in the 20 minutes that they were at our house, it really gave me the sense that, you know, one of these guys was really arrogant about what he does. The other person was just trying to learn and not sort of get in the way. And I hate to see stuff like that, especially if you're just starting out in a new job and you're trying to learn a trade that you've maybe never been in before. And we have to kind of remember that we don't know everything. And I've said before, I'll, you know, be a lifelong student and try to learn and continue learning. It's also important to remember that you are not the best. There's always somebody out there who is better at whatever it is that you're doing than you are. There's no doubt about it. There's always going to be somebody out there who can do something a little different than you are doing it. And more importantly than that, I think that's a real big indication of the type of person that you are and the type of clients that you're going to end up working with. So here's just a couple of things that I've always been told as far as being professional and being a, you know, reliable source for whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. And the first thing is a lesson that I learned in college. And I used to have a professor who would say, early is on time is late, and when you're late, you're fired. And that's something that just has stuck with me for years now. I'm early for everything. There's reasons why I like to be early for things, but I do not like to be late. I do not like to arrive exactly on time either. I like to arrive 10 minutes early of where I'm supposed to be, maybe even 10 to 15 minutes early, just in the case that something crazy happens to allow for a little bit more time. So promptness is something that to me is the epitome of professional. If you are someone who shows up late consistently, that's just not professional in my mind. The next thing is you have to be able to work with other people, and you have to be able to work with people with different personalities. And you have to let, you know, there are people out there that just aren't professional, and you have to learn to work with them. You have to learn to brush off things that happen. And if you want to stay on top of things, you really have to be a resource for the people that you work with, you know, as I mentioned earlier, mentoring younger people and sort of getting them on board and teaching them the skills to of being a professional. That's something that has to be taught. You know, not everybody understands that at some point in time. So you have to be that resource for other people in your company or school or whatever it is. And you have to avoid all that other stuff. You know, people get worked up and they get excited. They get angry about things and they want to come and rant. And they want to, you just want to avoid any of that, those office politics or gossip. And, you know, I'm pretty well known for any time that there's any type of gossip or politics of any kind, my eyes start to glaze over and I start thinking about all the other things that I should be doing at this moment rather than dealing with this stuff. And it's really hard to stay away from all that stuff. And if you can learn how to do that and stay away from the drama aspect of it, you're going to be much better off and you're going to build that professional reputation that you want. And part of being a professional is the way you dress. Even in examples like making house calls to work with people inside their house. Going back to this example of my ISP showing up to my house where the guys are wearing dirty clothes, ripped up clothes and that type of thing. You know, and it's to the point where we have to ask these guys, the ISP, technicians to either take their shoes off or cover their shoes up before they're walking through our house. And, you know, we're not really stringent on those types of things, but just dressing professionally, you know, wearing a shirt and a tie sometimes will make a big difference. It makes a big impression. Even if you're working on certain things, you know, how you look and how you come across is something that is very important, believe it or not. And that's something that I relate to my students a lot when it comes time for concerts. I try to emulate that professional look. You know, you want the students to dress up and wear nice clothes, and there's reasons for that. It's not just for the family pictures, as you're trying to teach these kids skills for becoming a professional in whatever it is that they go on to. And once you have that professional look, it's really about showing respect wherever that you go. And even if you're angry about something that happens, you have to learn to really take whatever happens. If anything bad happens or something doesn't work the way that you need to do, you need to keep that composure. And we're all, you know, we all make our mistakes here and there. But being able to keep your composure is a skill that not a lot of people have, and it's really tough to keep going through with that. And most importantly, get the job done. Do whatever it is that you're set out to do. Even if it's difficult, you got to become reliable. You have to work through it, and you have to make sure it's done correctly. More people today, they don't take any pride in their work. And I don't know how many times we go through a drive-through in a restaurant. You know, it's so fast-paced for those workers inside. I've worked in the food industry for many years, and I made plenty of mistakes. But when you go to the same establishment over and over and over, and the same mistakes are made over and over and over, there's a management problem. And there's a staffing problem, and you know somebody needs to come in to work on that. One of the most important skills I think out there is don't be afraid to ask somebody else for help. The thing I mentioned earlier about not everybody, there's always going to be somebody who is better than you, and you are not the best. And don't be afraid to ask questions to other people. And I don't think a day goes by where I don't ask someone a question about something. And if you really look and you act professional, okay, the old saying, fake it until you make it. I've lived that way for a long time, you know, and it really is. So if you are trying to accomplish something, acting in that certain way, being an actor, and just learning how to act in that way, and eventually it will change and become natural and second nature to you. So just having that professional attitude is something that will lead you down a path that is, going to be so beneficial to whatever it is that you're trying to do out there. The last thing that I want to talk about is the difference between confidence and arrogance. You can be confident in what you do without the arrogance. I've been to certain places, example in my life, going to a music school where it's highly competitive for just about everybody there. But in my mind, when I walk the hallways, the competition is with myself, and I want to be better than I was yesterday. And if I make a mistake, I don't want to make that same mistake again. How do I not make that same mistake? And just the idea of thinking that way rather than I want to be better than those people over there is a big change in how a lot of people think. And so anybody who makes condescending remarks as they're trying to do a job, that's arrogance. That's not confidence. You can be confident. You can have a positive attitude that you're going to do it and have a job right. And being able to use the correct terminology with your clients without making them or belittling them, that gives you, makes yourself feel better, but that also gives you, the people that you work with, the clients, a better perception of the people that they've hired to do the job. And being able to communicate with other people, especially in the tech industry, that's a big thing. It's very hard to do, and a lot of people don't like to have those conversations with you know, other people, especially if you know, they might not agree with you, that type of thing. That's an arrogant thing when you're so confident in what you do that you stop communicating with other people because you think you do a better job than they do. The confident thing to do would be to stop what you're doing and show the people why what you're doing is the right way and explain in great detail why it should be done this way and leave it up to management or somebody higher up than you to make the final decision. And if somebody else makes a decision that's not what yours it was, then, you know, you have to learn to accept those and do your job. And, you know, you're not always going to get exactly what you want. So being confident, you know, making the eye contact when you're talking with people, not just looking past them, thinking about what you're going to do in 5 minutes, and just really, it's okay to be confident. In fact, confidence is part of that act that I mentioned earlier. Teaching is really 90% acting in front of students. And there's a lot of jobs like that. You have to act a certain way. And acting confident will get you much farther than acting arrogant. So these are some tips. You know, I'm sort of inspired by the true professionals that I've been working with here recently. And you don't have to be the best out there. You know, you can fake it until you make it a little bit, but you know, you learn from your failures. You learn to succeed over time. You don't need to hide that fact. You know, if you make a mistake, own up to it and really, you know, figure out, okay, how can I make this not happen again in the future? That's the way to think. You know, you will fail, you will make mistakes, but owning those mistakes moving forward, I think, is something that's really the way people should be thinking, and not blaming mistakes on someone else or blaming certain things that happen on anyone else but yourself. I think all of those things that I just said make up what a true professional is. And I'm really inspired this week by all the professionals that I've worked with. And my students have gotten so much out of this week. I put this together for the last 3 months and been working daily on this. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about professionalism. And maybe it helps somebody out there who's kind of struggling day to day with whatever their job is. Maybe these little things can help you out and help you move forward and become whatever it is that you want. So I'm going to stop there on that topic. And I'm just going to finally sum up one last thing that's completely different than the topic we were just talking about. I'm sort of in an audiobook lull. I've got a lot of books in my wish list, and I've got a lot of books that I have currently tried to read recently. I tried to read a book on TED Talks, How to Be a Better Speaker, and a few other books that just weren't cutting it for me, and I've run into a series of bad narrators, and I'm wondering if anybody out there has any recommendations for good audiobooks of any subject out there. I'm currently, I decided I wanted to read something sort of funny and entertaining, so I started The Year Zero. It's supposed to be a really great audiobook. I don't have it an idea yet what it's about. I'm only about 45 minutes in, but I'm sort of looking for a really good book with a really great narrator about any topic. So if you got any recommendations, send them my way. You can go to mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact form, and shoot me a message. I would be glad to get any recommendations. That's going to do it for this week. Thanks so much for joining me, and now that things are going to settle down a little bit, I can start getting back into some more tech talk topics, and I appreciate you with me week after week to just keep going here and keep bringing you whatever comes to mind every week with technology topics and technology-related topics. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.